Hello, everybody, with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here to answer your question or discuss your real-life issue. Invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen or take part. If there's something you'd like to talk about, let's talk about it right now. The toll-free number, 1-800-677-9377. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Today is a day on the calendar that's marked as Earth Day.
Okay.
In 1970 was the first observance of Earth Day, and a senator back in the day, Dennis Hayes, tried to channel all of the energy that was being offered up in the younger generation and protest and that sort of thing, and he tried to channel it into something good. And for years, every April 22nd, it's been observed, and it's being observed today. And I thought it would be of interest to our listeners to talk about not Earth Day and all of what they're trying to accomplish, but to talk about faith versus science, or science versus religion. There's a lot in the Christian world today where we are afraid of scientific discovery. We pit ourselves against modern-day science, and science pits itself against modern-day religion. And we stand at odds with each other, but we don't have to, I don't think. I think if science is going to discover things, they're going to discover things that are true. And if they're true, they're true because God made them to be true. And eventually science should lead people back to the Creator. So I think that's how it should work. So let's talk about it. Andrew, what are some of your thoughts on, science versus religion? How can we as Christians take a stand and hold firm to our beliefs in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and also to intelligently discuss what's being discovered day in and day out in the scientific community?
Yeah, well, Bob, I think a feather in our cap that will remain there as long as we are on this planet is that matter does not come from nowhere. In other words, matter has to come from somewhere. So we can discover matter and we can study matter, but as to its origin, you ultimately have to come back to how in the world did this get here? And if you try to answer that one with another piece of matter, well, then where did that matter come from? And so you have a problem of origins. And so scientists will say things like, the first living cell came from a non-living cell, and then that non-living cell, well, where did that come from? Well, it grew on the back of crystals, perhaps. Well, where did the crystals come from? And, I always chuckle when I watch a video clip of Ben Stein, who's interviewing Dawkins, and Dawkins says, well, we believe that maybe, just maybe, those crystals were transported here by another civilization. And so you find a guy who's written a book called The God Delusion, and really he needs to be reading a book called The Alien Delusion. Origins, that's what it's really about. And I think that's a feather in the Christian cap, if you will, as this debate comes up and this conflict arises. Always we got to remember that matter doesn't come from nowhere. It comes from somewhere, and we believe God created it, and that's a very sensible stance. And so we start there with the existence of God and why it makes sense. And then from there, of course, our beliefs in Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Lord, they begin to unfold. But we don't have to be scared of the discovery of matter, of the the intricacies, the details, the science as it looks at, examines matter. The point is, where in the world did it come from? And we know it came from God.
And that's exactly what the Word of God has to say.
Yeah. And Bob and Andrew, I just had the privilege on Easter Sunday afternoon, Resurrection Day afternoon, of seeing this motion picture called God's Not Dead. That was, of course, a major theme running through this movie. Truly evangelistic. I had heard Richard Pfeiffer mention that he had seen it and really appreciated it. But I was literally blown away. This is a wonderful film, and I couldn't recommend it more highly. Many times when we hear a Christian movie is coming out, it's very much a disappointment. This absolutely is no disappointment. I was very, very encouraged by this, that it's out there, that people are seeing it, and people are being encouraged to really re-examine, like Lee Strobel did, the claims of Christ and the claims of the Scripture.
Yeah, faith, and this is where we need to really be more vocal in trying to define faith. It's not putting the mind on the shelf. It's not without thought. It's not without brain power. Faith engages the brain fully. To reason and to think through all the things that we observe. I mean, we can observe things in nature, and one of the conclusions that we draw, there must be somebody behind it. There must be a God. God must exist to have nature the way that it is, the order that it is, the intricacy that it is. And so we engage our minds, and that engagement can lead us to genuine faith, a true response to the living Christ. So we don't have to fear. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to put our, dig our spurs in and say, I'm gonna fight science. And we don't have to be like those guys, years ago who bought into, the theory that the earth was the center and everything revolved around the earth. And then when Copernicus started to offer up a different idea, man, it was the theologians, it was the biblical scholars, it was the Christians, it was the leadership of the church that said, no way, Earth is the center, and we can't let go. And, of course, now we know that's not true. Science has shown that it's not true. That the sun is the center of this universe and this galaxy, and the planets revolve around it. And that just makes sense. Why? Because God is the center, and we have to revolve around him. And I think he declared that in this particular thing. We're our source of energy, our source of heat, our source of all of those things needs to be the very thing that we revolve around. And that's exactly the way it is. That's truth. So I don't think we have to fear science, do we?
No, but you look at this history, the history of this conflict, Bob, and it's so clear that both sides have fueled the fight. I mean, you look at the God Delusion book by Richard Dawkins, for example. I mean, who titles a book that? What's the purpose? What's the motive behind that? That's not a book that is merely about scientific facts. It has got an agenda behind it. And then you look at the Christian side, many Christians who've been fueled by anger, rage, perhaps, and so they lash out at scientists, rather than trying to have meaningful dialogue. And so if we don't watch it, both sides really end up fueling a fight when really we don't need a fight. We need facts that we really work through. And like you've said, I mean, why do I have to be scared of what scientists find if they can literally lay something on a table and show it to me and talk about it and describe it? Well, then I need to meet them at the table and discuss it rather than going off into the corner and just being angry and bitter and coming up with some theory in a vacuum. I need to interact with the discoveries. And I think that's what responsible scientists who are believers are doing.
Yes, indeed.
And for our listeners who would like to take part in this conversation, we want you to do that. We have plenty of open lines right now, plenty of time on the clock, 1-800-677-9377. Whatever you'd like to talk about, let's talk about it right now, 1-800-677-9377.
One more comment, and then we'll go to our phone calls. When we come to the table, when science brings things to the table, no matter what it is, we can know for sure that the gospel still stands. Yes. Christ died. Christ was buried, Christ was raised back to life, and he ascended into heaven. And because of that, we have new life in him. And no matter what science brings to the table, that message will always stand. That message will be the centerpiece of this world that God has created and will be the centerpiece of the new heavens and new earth that we're going to experience at some point. Well, let's go to Brooklyn and talk to Martin, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Martin.
Well, hello there.
Welcome.
Amen. Is everything good?
Oh, it's fantastic. How about with you?
Well, so far, growing in the Lord.
Well, that's
the place to grow.
That's exactly right. It's nothing better than that. How can we help you today?
Hebrews 13:5 is the Bible says it really clear. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." I want to explain that.
Okay.
What I mean by that.
Yeah, it's a very, very good verse, and thank you for bringing it to the broadcast today. Andrew, what in the world is the writer of Hebrews getting at in this particular verse? What's the message he wants to for us to connect with?
Yeah, well, first of all, love comes up in this chapter, and then that's followed by keeping marriage, the marriage bed, pure, and there's talk of us avoiding immorality. And I think then on the heels of that, he's talking about the love of money. If you chase after money, well, you're going to have a whole lot of money and a whole lot of nothing. There's nothing else there except you and the money. And so you could be basking in a pool of money and have no relationship with Jesus Christ. You could be wading through a pool of money and really just have no life that you're lifing out, no walk that you're walking out with Jesus. And so, you know, the author of Hebrews, he spent 13 chapters telling us to throw off everything that entangles us, to have a pure, sincere faith in Jesus plus nothing. And don't add to that, otherwise you're going to mess it all up. I mean, it's fine if you've got food on the table and you've got a roof over your head. Fantastic. Praise God for that. But when you fall in love with cush circumstances and you fall in love with, worldly resources, then you've missed the boat. I mean, and, you know, the early church was persecuted, killed, some of them torn from their families. The disciples were not wealthy people, contrary to some teaching out there. Jesus was not rich, and all of that is just delusion. And the Bible even tells us that people who think such things are of depraved mind if they think that godliness leads to a load of money. So our answer is a spiritual answer, and our Savior is a spiritual Savior, and he's not promising a military victory for Israel, and he's also not promising economic wealth for Christians. Does that help some?
Well, Martin, the good news, if you're a believer, you have God.
Yes.
You have Jesus Christ alive and living in you. And he's never going to leave you nor forsake you, no matter what the world throws your way, no matter what trial, tribulation, adverse circumstance you experience. He's right there inside of you, loving you, caring for you, just being there for you. And there's nothing that can compare to knowing him and experience his presence in day-to-day life. Well, you're welcome, Martin. Thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate hearing from you. Let's go back to Brooklyn and talk to Hervé. Is that correct?
Yes, thank you.
Welcome. How can we help you today?
Thank you. All right, guys. I'm glad you guys brought up this subject. It's very important. It's very interesting. And I just wanted to say, I think one of the big problems with this whole debate over the years is on both sides, the proponents forget that no matter what subject you're talking about, nobody knows everything, and nobody's understanding is perfect and complete, right? Mm-hmm. So whether you're a dentist, a doctor, a plumber, a theologian, a scientist, nobody practices their craft perfectly. Scientists practice science imperfectly. Theologians practice theology imperfectly. So on both sides, the leaders and the people who are kind of like acting like they know it perfectly, and they're saying that you have to believe in a literal 24-hour day in creation science, right? And if you don't believe that, they almost suggest that you don't believe the beginning of the Bible if you don't adhere to that interpretation. And on the other side, the scientists will say, you know, they'll put pressure on their colleagues and their peers. You have to believe in evolution, whereas there are many scientists who are not even religious or Christian, right, or creationists. They're just regular scientists, secular who don't necessarily believe in evolution. You understand my point? Whatever whatever your field, your craft, especially whether you're a scientist or theologian, you practice imperfectly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is some wisdom there.
Pride. In other words, pride, a little humility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you said it beautifully. I appreciate your comment. You know, for us to sit here and pretend like we are world experts in science would be a mistake. And for the scientists to act like they know everything about whether there's a God or not would be the epitome of arrogance as well. I think you've stated it quite well. Thanks for your call.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, Hervé, we appreciate you weighing in on this important subject. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Kenny, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Kenny.
How you doing? Hey, my question is, since there's a large number of proven historical, scientific, and prophetic statements in the Bible, is there not a book written that goes through the entire Bible and lists those in line? Because it would be hundreds of them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know of a book that lists the scientific and prophetic utterances exactly. I'm not super clear on what you mean. Do you mean every reference to nature in the Bible?
Well, I'm saying every fact that was pre-written in the Bible, beginning with, obviously, a lot of it is prophetic and historical and scientific combined. I'm saying all those items.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking... Yeah, you're talking about kind of a summary of the history of the world according to the Bible. Bob, do you know any...
But also the presence of the prophecies that have, that are, and that are going to come to fruition.
Yeah,
I mean,
when you get into that.
In the beginning, the earth was void and without form. That's a perfect description of when planets come together. They begin as dust and particles and chemicals and...
I see.
They're void and without form, then they come together.
I see.
That's
so
just
something,
one of many.
A book that bridges the gap, you know, between science and faith, science and the Bible.
Exactly.
Bob, do you know of any title? I sure don't.
I do not. I know, you know, there's a ministry called Answers in Genesis that might have some resources that would try to connect those things. I would encourage you to take a look there. Answers in Genesis. You know, there's other organizations out there, apologists that, you know, are trying to, I guess, enter into the conversation and trying to make it a civil conversation to show where dots connect between what the Bible has to say and what's being revealed in science today. You just have to do a search to find those things. But I do think there's probably some out there on the market.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things is you speak to people, and I hate to say this, but 90% of so-called Christians are ignorant as to their own faith and history and facts and don't know what to say when people start throwing questions. Atheists can lie through their teeth and just say all kinds of unproven things, and a lot of Christians just look at them like, oh, I don't know. You know, they've got no answers for anything, but yet we have hundreds of things we can pull from. In, like I said, historical and prophetic and scientific things in the Bible. I mean, the hydrological cycle is explained in extreme detail thousands of years before we knew what it was.
Well, Kenny, I think you raise a good point. The fact that we believers aren't fully convinced of our own faith, then when somebody kind of rattles the cage a little bit, we find ourselves standing on shaky ground. We're not really sure how to answer. We're not sure how to respond. And then we start to even question the very foundations of Christianity, and that's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. So I think we need to shore up our understanding as to what basic gospel really is and what it means to us in our day-to-day existence. And when we become sure of that, then when things that we're not 100% sure of as far as science is concerned and maybe some of the other debates that are being waged out there, we can still enter into those with some confidence, knowing that our faith stands, that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ stands. It doesn't matter what the world throws at it. It's still going to stand. That's just the nature of God. That's the nature of Jesus. That's the nature of what he's accomplished for us. And we need to find our security there. And when we have security there, then we're going to be okay entering into conversations with other people. But Kenny, right. Sure appreciate your information today. Thanks for jumping on. Well, let's go to Brooklyn and talk with Joel, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Joel.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. It's very, very simple, the age of the earth. There's two time factors here, human time and God time. And God speaks through 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, where he says that one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. If you read Hebrews, it says the same thing. Now, if you take a calculator, the 6 days of creation would actually be 6,000 years of God time, and he rests 1,000 years, one day, which is 1,000 years. From the time of creation to his very day, it's 15,400 years of human time. If you times that by 365 days, you would come up with 5.6 billion years God time, not evolution time. It says right in the Bible, one day is 1,000 years. Why do people don't understand that?
Well, that's an interesting, that's an interesting perspective.
And I'll tell you something else.
Okay.
And I'll tell you something else. If one day is equal to 1,000 years, Christ died 2 days ago, God time. He died 2,000 years ago, human time. Two different time factors here, God time and human time. So everything in the last 2 days is really 2,000 years in God time, but evolution doesn't even count. Come into the equation.
One day
is 1,000 years.
Thanks for your call. Appreciate your input. Bob, you know, it's interesting. Folks will come up with different math problems and calculations, not only apparently about the future coming of the Lord, but also about the past. And, you know, I think this is one of those cases where you just have to call into question everything. You can't really make the Bible and all of its verses into a math problem where you start doing multiplication and addition and come up with an exact time period. You know, I love that God has left this as a mystery. He really allows us to wrestle with this and not have a definitive answer. I was just talking with someone a few hours ago. They were doing some work at my home, and they asked my opinion on the age of the earth and the age of the universe. And when I told them I didn't know, I wasn't there, and I don't know. They were so relieved to hear that. They said, I have felt for so many years that I had to have the answer to that to be okay, that I had to have the answer to that to be a true believing Christian. I had to know how old everything is. And, you know, just hearing my own opinion that I didn't know, you know, in a way, it can be relieving for so many Christians. We don't have to have it all together.
Absolutely. And what God wants us to know can be known. And what he wants us to know is Jesus. Who he wants us to know is Jesus Christ. He wants us to know that Jesus took away our sins once and for all through his death on the cross. He wants us to know that Jesus was buried, showing an end to our old way of life. He wants us to know that Jesus was raised back to life so that we can experience new life. That's what he wants us to know, and that's what he spent, you know, thousands of years revealing to the prophets and bringing to fulfillment in the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's what this Word of God is all about. It is God's testimony concerning his Son, and through faith in him, how we can experience new life, resurrected life that lasts forever. That's basic gospel. That's good news.
Do you think that might be something that we might cover at the Stand 2014 conference?
You bet it will. We do have an exciting conference coming up in June 19th through the 21st right here in the Dallas, Texas area. It's called Stand 2014. And really, it's a conference to teach you how to take a firm and solid stand upon the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. It will truly be life-changing, I guarantee it.
I couldn't agree more, Bob. And friends, for information on that upcoming Bible conference, visit our website, stand2014.com. Information and registration available right there, stand2014.com. Again, that's coming up June 19th through the 21st right here in the Dallas area. And again, stand2014.com. Now for Bob Christopher, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great afternoon and evening in the meantime, everybody. See you then. Bye-bye.